me in your Bible to the book of Psalms. In fact, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Psalms 118, we have a verse over here we're going to read in just a minute. You know, we've said goodbye to 2016, and I know some people were really glad to see it go. For some folks, 2016 was a very difficult year. I think one of the saddest things is that we say goodbye to so many loved ones as each year closes. You know, we've all lost people that we loved, people, family members, church members, people we knew, people maybe we grew up with. That's true with every single year, because we are a dying world. But some people went through terrible financial trials in 2016. Some still going through it. Some have gone through physical battles, and some still going through it. 2016 can be, you know, it was a trying year for many people. Some had some very difficult family issues, relationship issues. Some were hurt, disappointed. Let's say we all had things to overcome in 2016.
Amen.
None of us were exempt, right? Of course, it wasn't all trial and trouble. There were victories as well. 2016 had its upside. It had its victories, conquests. We had graduations. We had accomplishments. We had promotions. We had successes. We had healing. We had deliverance. We had, you know, the Lord blessed. And it was, you know what it was? It was a mixture. But you know what the Bible says life is? A mixture. For everything there is a time, the Bible says. For everything there is a time, and everything there's a season and time for everything, every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. He says, it's a time to laugh, a time to weep, a time to get, a time to lose, a time of war, a time of peace, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to rend, tear something apart, time to sew something together, time to keep silence, time to speak, time to break down, time to build up. In other words, life itself is a mixture. It's a mixture of both good things and bad things. Great days, not so good days. Our experiences change all the time. Our circumstances change all the time. When it comes to things like that, they're never the same. There's only one thing that's constant. God doesn't change. His word is ever the same. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word doesn't change. Doesn't matter what time of day you open the Bible, it says the same thing. Look outside, the weather doesn't always say the same thing. Look outside 15 minutes later, it says something altogether different. But God's word, it never changes, never varies. Now, goodbye 2016, hello 2017. We don't know what it holds, but we do know it'll be more of the same. In many ways, a mixture. There'll be great days, there'll be difficult days. There'll be victories, there'll be days where we weren't so victorious.
Amen.
But I do believe that there are some verses that we can look at today. In fact, I've got 7 verses in particular that I want us to look at today. I'm calling my message today 7 for 17. That is 7 verses for 2017 that I believe will encourage us, if we apply them to our lives, to have a victorious 2017, no matter what our circumstances are. Because you know our circumstances will change. They change like that weather outside.
Amen.
Psalms 118 is the first verse I want to look at, and it's in verse 24. Psalms 118:24. which says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. Amen. This, right here, today. This is the day. And you know what? Every day you get up, that verse is going to be the same. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. And tomorrow you can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Because every day is the day that the Lord has made. It's His day. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day is His day. It's His by right of creation. He created them all. So they're all His. So here's what I exhort us to do in 2017. Face each day with joy. Face it with joy. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will complain and groan and murmur. Nope, your version doesn't say that. I'm so glad your version doesn't say that. It says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
We will rejoice. We're going to rejoice in every day that the Lord made. That means we're going to rejoice every day. Face each day with joy, not with dread. Do not face the day with dread. Face it with joy. Face it with rejoicing. Face it with praise. We will rejoice. The idea is we will celebrate. This day, Lord, you made. We will rejoice and we will be glad. We will be glad. I think we should personalize that and say, I will be glad.
Amen.
Lord, this is the day you made. You made this day. I will rejoice in it. I will be glad in it. I'm going to be glad today. I'm going to face this day with joy and expectation. Now, I do believe we may have to make an attitude adjustment in order to really apply this to our lives. It means adjust your attitude. For some people, it means you need to rearrange the furniture in your bedroom so that there is no wrong side of the bed, you see, to get out of, you know. You know the excuse we use? Oh, I got out the wrong. You got out the wrong side of the bed. Well, you know, adjust the furniture so there's no wrong side. Adjust your attitude so you don't wake up with the murmurs and complaints and groaning, and face it with joy. Face it with a song in your heart. Face it with thanksgiving in your heart, and all in the Lord. Like our sister testified today, I want to thank the Lord for His goodness, for His mercies, for everything that brought us through this past year. You know, the Lord provided, didn't He? He provided. That's something for us to rejoice in. He was good. He loved us all throughout the year. He loved us every day of 2016. No matter what you did, He still loved you. He didn't smash you like a bug. He could have done that to each and every one of us, but, you know, He loved us. He loved us every day. We find it hard to love each other every day. But the Lord has no trouble loving us. What a wonder that is.
Amen.
What a mercy that is. He forgave us. He forgave us every day. Many times a day. And you know what? That won't change in 2017. We can wake up rejoicing. We can give Him praise. Even though, you know, you get a little older each year, some things creak and groan as you move along, you know.
But
circumstances are going to change. God's promises will not change. I like to remind myself of one of the prison epistles. Paul wrote several epistles from prison. He spent 6 to 8 years of his life in jail. There were four epistles that are called the prison epistles. Ephesians was written from prison. Ephesians was written from prison. Colossians was written from prison. Those are the two sister epistles, both written from jail. Philemon was written from prison. And Philippians was written from prison. Philippians is called, Christians call it and have called it for centuries, the epistle of Christian joy. The epistle of Christian joy. Because over and over in it, he tells us to rejoice. He tells us, he wrote that from jail. And he tells the believers, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say unto you, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. He wrote it from jail. If jails are not a pleasant place today, what do you think they were 2,000 years ago? They were not pleasant places. He's in jail. He's writing to the church and say, you guys rejoice every day. Hey, you can rejoice just because you're not in jail.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
You're right.
Or you're not in the hospital.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Or you're not dead.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Lord.
There's lots to rejoice about. And you know, there in Philippians 4, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The verb, the tense, is continuous. So it means keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing.
Amen.
A sour disposition, a sour outlook on life, negativity, that really does not convey to others that you have the joy and peace and victory of the Lord.
Amen.
Which brings me to a second verse. And this one is found in Matthew chapter 5. You can turn here if you like, or you can just listen. But this one goes right along with the first one. The first verse that we looked at, hey, face each day with joy, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The second one is be salt, be light. Be salt, be light. Matthew 5. Jesus said, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. He says, verse 14, you are the light of the world. And then he said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. So, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be the salt, be the light. Let me remind you of something else the Lord also said. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, listen to this. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9, 5. It's an important verse. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He said that when he knew he didn't have much longer to be in this world. But let's not miss how significant it is, because when he said, I am the light of the world, he said, I am the light of the world. Not a light, not just I am a bright light, or not just that I am a real fancy colored light, but I am the light. Meaning, he's the only light. He's the only light in a dark world, the only light. Now, we know that there are lights outside. We've got the sun. At night, we've got the moon and stars. We've got flashlight, candlelight, headlights, taillights. You know, you've got all kind of lights. But when it comes to a dark world dying in sin, there is one light and one light only. Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light. He is the only light. There is no other light. Everything else is darkness. It's just another shade of dark. That means Buddhism is just another shade of dark. Hinduism, another shade of dark. It's all part of the night. It's not part of the light. Only Jesus is the light. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Only he gives life. Let's not miss what he's saying. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, here's a question. How many hours of the day was Jesus the light of the world? How many hours of the day was he light? Was he sometimes light? How many days of the week was he the light? How many days of the year was he the light? So, in other words, he shined bright every single day. Every day he was the light. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But he also knew that his days on earth were very limited. He was only going to be here for 30 plus years. And then he gave his life for us. And you know what he told his disciples right there in that verse we just read, Matthew 5? You're the light of the world. That's what he said. How many hours of the day are we supposed to be light? And how many days of the week are we supposed to be light? Maybe just Sunday mornings. We go to church Sunday morning. We shine the light Sunday morning. We smile. We're happy. We sing, you know, sacred songs Sunday morning. But what about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? We're called, beloved, to carry the light, to be the light. To let Christ shine through us. That's every day, every day, every day.
Amen.
Y'all awake, right?
Yeah.
This is where we come in. We're supposed to carry the light. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light. But now he's not in the world, now you're the light. Your responsibility is let it shine. Look, here's the point I would make. The world needs to see Christianity lived. They need to see it lived, not just preached. Not just spoken of, they need to see it lived. They need to see it lived consistently. Consistently. And they need to see it in us. They need to see a consistent witness in each and every one of us. That means you. You have to be the light. God has you where you are, whether it's your workplace, your family, your neighborhood, you be the light right there. You live your Christian life right there. That's your call. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Be the light. Shine the light. You know what else it means? Do not compromise your Christian witness, your Christian testimony. Do not blend in with the darkness of this world. Light does not blend in.
Amen.
It stands out. And you know, most people don't like to stand out. They don't like to stand out. They don't like to be different. We like to blend in because we get along with people when we blend in. When you stand out, you're a target for people's ostracism, mockery, ridicule, snide remarks. The world loves darkness. That's what the Bible says. The world loves darkness. They don't love the light. But you and I are called to be the light. And the light always stands in stark contrast to the dark. You're never going to blend in with this world. Don't try. You're not supposed to. You're not going to get along with this world. You're always going to be marching out of step with this world. The sad thing is that we also find ourselves marching out of step with much of Christianity. And as we get closer and closer to the end, as more and more people compromise with the world, you'll find that you'll be standing out, you'll be different than even, not just many, but perhaps most Christians. And that brings me to my third verse for this new year. Number three is found in Psalms 119 and verse 105. And our exhortation here is simply follow the book.
Amen.
Follow the book. You know what book we're speaking of? The book. The Word of God. The Bible. Follow the book. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light unto my path. Thy word is a light to our path. It shows us where to walk. It shows us where to put our next step. It's a very dark world, you know. You're walking in a dark place. How do you stop from stumbling and falling? Well, you need light. And in a world of sin and darkness and evil, the light is the Word of God. This is what the psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, you know, back in biblical times, their world wasn't lit up like ours is. Their world was much darker, just in the natural sense. You know, it's like you go way out in the country and there's no street lights and no lights from the city, and you see how dark it can be. It can be very dark, especially on an overcast night. Clouds block the sky, you know, no starlight, no moonlight. You better have a light to walk by, because you could fall into danger, into harm or injury. Well, here's the picture, that God's word is what keeps us on a safe path. It's a light to our steps. We know how to live. We know how we should act. We know how we should behave. We know how we should think. We know how we should talk, because God's word tells us. Amen. Right?
Amen. Yes.
Beloved, let's follow the book. Let's remember that it's God's word we follow, not people's opinions.
True.
Not people's opinions. Not what everybody else is doing.
You're right.
I get, and I'm sure you do too, I get a lot of flack from people sometimes for some of the positions we take. We just went through a holiday season, and once again, you know, we catch flack for our position on many things. But I always tell them, show me in the Bible why I should do what you do.
That's right.
And I'll show you in the Bible why you should do what I do. But you can't show me from the Bible. You can't justify from the Word of God what you do and why you do it. You can't justify it. I challenge you to do so.
Amen, brother.
If you can show me by the book, I'll repent of my position, I'm on board. But if you can't show me by the book, I don't care what your opinion is. I don't care what anybody's opinion is. I want to know what the book says. I want to know what the book says, because the book is God's word to me. It tells me how I'm supposed to live, how I'm supposed to govern my life. In Proverbs chapter 6, and verse 23, Solomon said, "For the commandment is a light. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The law, that's just another word for the word of God, the law, the commandment. Just a synonym, again, for the Word of God. It's a lamp, it's a light, and reproofs of instruction. That means corrections. That means instructions, even rebukes, are a way of life. The Bible does correct us, and it does keep us on the right path. How much trouble would we have avoided in our life if we would have just followed the book? But instead, we let so many other things lead us. You know what we let lead us? We let what everybody else does lead us. We let other people's opinions lead us. We let what other people want from us lead us. We let our own emotions sometimes lead us. We let feelings and we let sentimentality lead us. Those things are okay as long as they don't contradict the book. But when they contradict the book, what do we follow? We follow the book. Sometimes people let selfish desires, personal ambitions, pride, they let all kinds of things lead them. They get hurt with somebody, they get offended with somebody, that's it. They, instead of being led by the book, they're ready to toss it and do things on their own and do it their own way. Y'all awake, right? That means, hey, this is the beginning of a brand new year. It's a good time to tell yourself, you know what? I'm going to sit down this year. I'm going to read through the whole book. You could start today with a daily Bible reading program. There's all kinds of them online. Just find one and follow it. Read through the Bible in a year. That's good. Read the book. Highly encourage us all. Read the book. But better yet, follow the book.
Amen.
Let's do what the book says. Amen?
Amen.
And not let ourselves be swayed by what others say, what the media says, what family members say.
That's right.
I like to tell people you have to follow the word and not the herd.
Boy, is that the truth. Amen.
Follow the word, not the herd. I saw somebody posted something the other day. It said, God did not call you to fit in. That's true. He didn't call us to fit in. He just called us to follow the word. All right. Number four. Y'all hanging with me? Fourth verse. This one's in Philippians chapter 4. I read a verse or quoted a verse in Philippians 4 a little while ago. This one in Philippians 4. Here's our exhortation here. Pray about everything and quit worrying about anything.
Amen.
Pray about everything. Quit worrying about anything. These have to be some of my favorite verses right here. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7.
Amen.
Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. That's what the King James says. Be careful. The word means don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be fretful. Don't be troubled with cares. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. I love this verse because this verse tells us that we can come to God with our request. You have requests? You can come directly to God with your request. Let your request be made known to God.
Amen.
He says, don't worry about anything. That's what it literally means. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything.
Amen.
Williams translates it, stop being worried about anything. Stop doing it. It's like, stop doing what you've been doing. You've been worrying. Stop worrying.
Yeah.
One version translates it, never worry about anything.
Amen.
We're not supposed to be a worried, anxious, laden people. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Because we pray, we cast our burdens on the Lord. That's what He tells us to do, right? Cast our burdens on the Lord. That means we count on Him. We depend on Him. We put our trust in Him. But pray about it. Don't just talk about it. Pray about it. And then He says, and the peace of God, Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God. I want that peace. I want to live in that bubble. A little bubble of peace. That goes where I go. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is such a tumultuous world. Such an evil world. We need this peace of God. And everything is conspiring to rob us of our peace. The devil wants to rob you of your peace. Your own flesh wants to rob you of your peace. Because something about this flesh, it wants to worry. I think we have a natural tendency towards worry. I have a natural tendency to gather clutter. It's attracted to me. It just put me in a nice, neat room, and it won't take long. There's junk all over. It's just... I don't know how it gets in there, really. It just just shows up. There's stuff there that... Well, I've come to find out that we have this tendency to pick up clutter along the way in our life. But let me tell you what else we have a tendency to do. To pick up worries and anxieties. We pick them up like clutter and we let them hang around and they bother us for days, weeks, months. They'll bother us for years. They'll bother us for decades unless we sweep it all out, clean it out, get rid of it. We have to keep on keeping it out. That's exactly right. And then you know what happens? It just becomes an unbearable load of anxiety and stress and worry. And we were not made to carry that. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We really can cast, and that's what it means, to heap, to throw, or to place. We can place our burdens over there on the Lord. And how do we do that? Only in prayer.
Right.
Only by believing prayer. Lord, I know you don't intend for me to worry and fret over this thing.
Amen.
Lord, as an act of my will, I'm placing this out of my, taking this clutter out of my heart and casting this burden on you, Lord. You said, Lord, you said, now you just fill in the blanks there because I don't know what it is you're praying for. Let's say you're praying for the salvation of a loved one. Let's say that the way they act, the way they behave has been eating you up, tearing you apart, causing you to lose sleep. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you do.
Amen.
Let's cast that burden on the Lord because we can stand on his promise. His promise is, you and your house would be saved. His promise is, I will save your children. His promise is that it's not his will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Can we cast that burden on the Lord? Say, Lord, I'm not going to look at these circumstances. I'm not going to be discouraged by what's coming out of their mouth. But Lord, I'm going to look to you, and I'm trusting in you to bring them to repentance and faith. Or if it's a physical matter, you know, some need of physical healing, then there are so many passages you can just latch hold of by faith. By his stripes you were healed. Prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. Believers will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Lay hold of a promise. Is it a financial burden? And he promises to provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Remember the Lord's words in Matthew 6. If our God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow it's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Amen.
Remember how he told us, therefore, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, take no thought. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Yet your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. The Lord knows what you need.
Amen.
But instead, Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
And then he says this, take therefore no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what that is? Each day has enough trouble. Why are you borrowing tomorrow's troubles? Don't you have enough to overcome today? Overcome today. Trust God today. Believe God. What's going on in your life today? Trust God. Trust God right here, right now. Trust him today to get you through it. Don't go thinking about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough to deal with. Don't borrow tomorrow's troubles. Take no thought for tomorrow. Put every day in the hands of the Lord. Start the day right. Face it with joy. Right? Let's trust the Lord each day. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. Stop worrying. Number five. This is important. If you're going to face any day, dress properly. Yeah. There was a book that came out years ago. It said it was titled Dress for Success. Dress for success. You want to look successful? You want to be successful? You got to look successful. Well, here's the biblical principle. Dress properly. Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Over and over, you know what he tells us to do? Stand. Stand. Withstand. Stand. Stand, therefore.
Amen.
Then he tells us how to dress, right? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6. You stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise God. And praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Dress properly. Be fully equipped. Number six. Trust completely. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he will direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Trust completely. Trust completely. You know, I was looking through some things that companies sometimes do. They take their employees out to do trust exercises. I don't know if you've ever heard of these things, but they do what they call team building. So you've got a whole bunch of people that work in an office, or, you know, you want them to get them to know each other and come to work together as a team. So these psychologists have come up with what they call trust building exercises. And maybe you've heard of some of it or read it or whatever, where one person will stand behind another and they'll say, now you just lean back and release your weight, and the person behind you is going to catch you. So, you know, that's to build trust. And then some of the things they do are actually ridiculous is the right word. Like, you're going to put on a blindfold and another person is going to lead you. You put your hand on their shoulder and they're going to lead you like through a little path or something like that, you know. Or you hug this tree with a blindfold on, and then they're going to take you away from the tree, take the blindfold off, and you go find your tree, the tree that you hugged. And I don't know how all of this builds trust, but that's what it's supposed to do. You're supposed to believe that the person that works with you, whatever, that they've got you. I got a better trust exercise for it. Let's trust in the one who's got us. Let's trust in the one who's always got us. Who's never going to be too weak to catch us or distracted. You know, like you're supposed to fall back into somebody's arms there. So just close your eyes, let go, and fall back in my arms. I've got you. Fall back in my arms. And the minute they start to fall, you say, oh, mosquito, bee, and flop.
There you go.
God doesn't get distracted. He's got you. We all tend to be like Peter. We take our eyes off the Lord when he tells us, come.
Right.
You know what the Lord told Peter? Trust me.
You're right.
Trust me.
Amen.
And Peter did. He walked on the water. He walked on the water. I mean, it's easy to criticize him because he faltered, but he walked on the water before he fell. None of us have done that. He walked on the water, but then the Bible says the seas, the waves, the winds. We are so sense-oriented, we take our eyes off of the Lord, we get our eyes on our circumstances, and that's when we sink. That's when we find ourselves in trouble. We get distracted. Look, I praise God for good men and good women and godly men and godly women who have been examples in our lives and who still remain good examples in our lives. But I've also learned through the years the same thing that you know already, I'm sure, or will learn, that even the best of men and the best of women are simply men and women. That means that the best of us are weak and fallible. And none of us are perfect. None of us are infallible. And we tend to disappoint people. People can be so disappointed. And look, when you're in the ministry, and I disappoint people, it seems like, on a pretty regular basis. Because they had a little higher expectation. Maybe they thought I would do a little something more. But what happens is, I can only be one place at a time, but I know somebody who can be every place at one time. And while I may not always get somebody's signal, like one time I was talking to someone, they were telling me what was going on in their life, and somehow or another I didn't get the signal. That means they need me to give them some money. I didn't quite get that signal. I should have, but I didn't quite get it. And then, I get the backlash. Well, I wouldn't help them when they needed help. Sometimes you should just tell me. Just tell me. And if I don't have it, Bob will write you out a check. But Bob has a whole bunch of checks. But let's trust in the one who never fails, in the one who is not weak, in the one who gets it. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Psalms 118, verse 8. In fact, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, even important men and strong men. Better to trust in the Lord. I got one more, number 7. And that is, be steadfast. The verse here is 1 Corinthians 15:58, which says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Steadfast. It means to be firm, to not be swayed, to not move. Be steadfast, unmovable. And that's a good word too. That means to be persistent. Amen. Not allowing anything or anyone to move you from your faith. You know what it means? It means when the wind blows, you're not shaken. Amen. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," 1 Corinthians 15:58, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Sometimes it looks like, what am I accomplishing? All this praying I've been doing, and what's it get? I don't see any improvement. I don't see any change. I've been confessing God's promises about this or about that, and I don't see any change. Well, you know what? You know what being steadfast means? It means you never quit. It means you don't give up. You don't stop. So you keep on keeping on. That means you keep praying. You keep trusting. Well, how much longer, Brother Rusty, must I pray this way? Until. Yeah. Maybe. Hey, worst case scenario, until the Lord comes. But don't give up. And you know, don't give up on your kids. Don't give up. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on the grandkids. Don't give up on those family members that have been so troublesome. They've been a thorn in your side or a poke in your eye or just caused you grief and worry. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep praying. Quit worrying. Keep praying. Quit worrying. Trust completely. Trust the promise. Stand on the word of God. That's what it means. Trust. Stand. Believe. Believe what God said. Don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Too many times people say, you know what? I'm just scratching them off. That's it. Done with them. Do not do that. You don't give up on your family. Look, if you quit praying for them, don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your marriage. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep confessing the promises. Keep giving, keep serving, keep sacrificing. Don't listen to the voices of discontent even when they arise in the back of your own head. Don't give up. Don't give up on the church. It's still God's plan, you know.
Amen.
There's no plan B.
No.
He built his church. This is his idea. Pray for the church. Don't give up on the fellowship of the saints. We need the fellowship of the saints. It's going to become more and more precious as the time goes on. Don't give up. Don't give up on the Bible studies, the services. It's been God's plan all along.
Amen.
And most important of all, don't give up on God.
Amen.
You know, he's got you.
Thank you, Lord.
You can trust him. You can let go. 7 verses for 2017 and beyond.
Amen.
Just to encourage us in the new year. And I pray that they will do just that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, Father, we do pray at this beginning of a brand new year. We pray, Lord, and we thank you for bringing us through this last year, through all the trial and trouble you brought us through. And Lord, you have been so faithful. And Lord, we commit this year to you. We put it in your hands, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you deliver us from worries and anxieties and cares that you don't intend for us to bear. Help us, Lord, to cast these burdens, one and all, upon you. We know that there are many uncertainties in the days ahead, and yet there are also certainties. And the certainty is, Lord, that you've got us, that you're going to always love us and take care of us and meet our every need. Lord, I do pray for this body. I pray, Lord, for our physical health, for healing in all of the body parts and all of the members, Lord. Touch your people. Restore health and strength. Lord, I pray for the financial provision for every individual, every home, every family, every business. Bless your people, Lord. We look to you for provision. Lord, we cast our burdens upon you. And we thank you, Lord, that you do promise to provide not just barely enough, but, Lord, more than enough, even that we might say, as did the psalmist, our cup runneth over in every way. And Lord, we look to you this year to do a work in our loved ones, Lord, to deliver the backslider. Lord, to bring the prodigal sons and daughters back to you. We pray, Lord Jesus, a hedge around all of our loved ones, that you preserve them from the evil one, that, Lord, you bring them to yourself. Help us, Lord Jesus, to honor you, to glorify you, to live for you, to live unselfishly each day, every day, shining your light, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. As you know,